You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced that I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Hey.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and we're talking to Moxon Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, everybody. This is Marco Bill. Tom has got a little bit of a cell phone problem this week. Well, he's in an area where he can't get in. And we spent about a half an hour last, just a little while ago, trying to get everybody up in there, but we couldn't get it. So he'll be with us. He will be with us next week, though. This is a temporary thing here. I'm going to mute all the people that just came in, and I'd like to welcome everybody to the show tonight. We got a really good show. A lot of good people phoned in. Some guys are continuing research from last week. Really some interesting stuff going on. I'd like to thank everybody out there for your emails, for your cards. Oh, yeah, and thanks for my birthday. My gosh, I didn't even tell everybody, but thanks so much. So many people just sent me emails and on Facebook and wish me a happy birthday. And, 67 is a good lucky number, I think. But, thank you for that. Thank you for all your responses and emails and things and well wishes to a lot of things that are going on here. And thank you for ordering. There's a few, quite a few people have been ordering some of the movies. I want to, and they've sent me emails and just asked, you know, told me that what was going on. And thank you so much. Appreciate that. That's what keeps us going. And most of all, to our listeners tonight out there and the guests, thank you so much for enjoying and being with us and sharing your experiences and sharing your time on this radio show. Tom and I have been now, this show has been going now, well, it's coming up on about 7 or 8 years, I think. And by gosh, I'll tell you, it's been a ride. It's been really good. A lot of good people we've met. Quite a few of you out there belong to our Bigfoot family. And it's really an enjoyable experience for me to be able to talk to each and every one of you continue a relationship back and forth and see you from time, or talk to you time from time. You know, we can't be where we can physically see each other, but gosh, email and telephone, and it all works so good. I'd like to do a little kind of a shout out there to one of our guys. His both his mother and father got pretty sick here in the last couple of weeks. They are getting better, but Mac from Mississippi, he's been he's going to be on next week, but he's taken his mom has really had a stroke, and he's going to take her out I think tonight for her birthday, because it's a special little night for her. So we wish him well all, and wish his mother well in a fast recovery. And to all the other folks out there that we just don't know that are ill or sick or have had some family members had a bad experience or something, we wish all of you the very best. Well, here we go to get started tonight. I'm going to first we're going to go out here. Excuse me. We're going to go out here to Mississippi, and we're going to talk to our friend Tim. Tim, how are you tonight?
Hello?
Yeah, hello, Tim. How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. What about you, man?
Oh, I'm doing good. Doing great. Well, Tim, you've had some, I think it was last week, or maybe just a couple this past week, and I'm not sure. But you've had some experiences, some things that happened when you're taking your son out. Why don't you, can you tell us about what happened and tell us a little bit about what took place and all that?
My son and I, we decided to go for a walk through the woods. It was like towards a river area, maybe about 200 yards from a river. So as we were walking through the woods down this path, we started noticing, actually he was the first one to notice it. We started noticing like these big thick pine trees there would be twisted, you know, just twisted in weird ways. So I noticed it, so I pulled out my phone and I started taking pictures. So we walk on down about 100 yards across this big wide field, like right at the edge of the forest. And as we were walking into the forest, there were these trees bent over. And me, I'm not a Bigfoot researcher, so I didn't, you know, but they just looked odd and out of place. So my son started asking me, Daddy, what can bend those trees like that? You know what I? And that's when I started like looking at the ground, because that was like what popped in my mind, like a Sasquatch or something. So anyway, we continued down the path, and we kind of left the path for a second, and at the same time, both of us just decided. We looked at each other. He was like, "I think it's time to go, Dad." So you know, we just started getting this weird feeling. So we started walking back out, and we look on the ground where we had just passed over, and there were two feathers on the ground. And I just thought that was odd because they weren't there before. And keep in mind, I didn't know anything about the gifting or anything like that. So anyway, I took the feathers and I went home that night. And that's what led me to call you, because I started Googling all these things. And anyway, I just felt like it could have been maybe, you know, some, you know, that was my question I had maybe for some of your listeners. Could that have been like a little encounter or something, you know? I don't know.
Oh, very well could have been. Also, no, you're telling me that you've seen not just the trees bent over and broken, but you also seen tree twists, right?
Right, yeah, well, there were a few of those back through there, and we also saw like two or three logs against different trees. They were like set at like a maybe like a 45 degree angle, I think. And it would always be like a tree, like it would be like two pine trees leaning up against like an oak tree. And then I saw some pictures. It's like when I went home that night, I compared my pictures to the ones that I was like finding on the internet, and it was like really blowing my mind because it was like, you know, like the little nesting areas and all of that, you know, it would just trip me out. And there's also been a reported sighting in that area also, like down on this particular river. My son's uncle actually was the person that saw it one night down on this particular river. But that was like years ago.
What happened when that happened? I wasn't aware of that. What happened when your uncle saw the creature? How did do you know anything about it, or can you tell us a little bit about it?
He just said he was down on this river and like an old bus that they had up on stilts, you know, for flooding or whatever. And he said he heard some noise outside by the garbage can. And after that, he said, you know, he kind of gripped his gun, you know, and he said all of a sudden he heard this kind of, you know, commotion into the bus. And he looked up, and right there in front of him, he said there was something like two red eyes glaring through the window, like very big. And anyway, he just kind of stared at him, then it walked away. But this guy will never go back. He doesn't go to the river to this day, you know.
It kept him away from the river for a while, huh?
Right. Yeah. So there's been now, a few sightings in the area.
Yeah. Now, when you were walking around in the woods with your son, did you find any footprints at all?
No.
Or what looked like a footprint or anything? Or impression
no,
on the ground?
Because it was kind of on this trail. It was like I guess you would call it an old logging trail, but it hasn't been used in like a very long time. So the dirt, the path was wide, but it was kind of hard packed, I would call it. You know, it wasn't.
Okay, hard packed ground. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I understand.
Right.
Yeah, and that's reasonably so. So when you saw some of these, quite a few of these trees, now we have a guest on tonight. Started 2 years ago, Tim, and about 2 years or 3 years now, and his name is Anthony, and he's from Virginia, and basically what he was out basically at a substation working. He was, you know, he went to these different substations, and he has, you know, electrical work and things like that he does, and while he was out there, he noticed all these tree formations just like you did, and he started taking a note of it, and he sent us some pictures of it, and I posted them up on the internet, and from there, that's where he started his research. He started going researching, and he's with us tonight, but he's been researching now for 2 years. Tom and the team went out, I think a year and a half ago, and they went out and they visited Anthony, and while they were visiting him, they went out and they took a look around at the area that they were in, and they set it up, they prepared the area, and then they baited it, and sure enough, they had a footprint. They made a cast. Anthony is a proud owner of a cast, his very own. And then Anthony also, some months later, had a couple of visual encounters of the creature itself.
Right.
And seen it in there. Now, and more recently, he met a friend of his daughter's from school, and they got to conversation about different things about Bigfoot and Sasquatch, and he started talking about these monkeys in his trees. This neighbor guy did, and so for the past month or so, they've been having a lot of activity in his area there. And almost every week when they go out there, there's something. The visual encounters don't come that frequently, but all the signs, like, you know, the howls, we have, different things, other signs like tree breaks and tree twists, things like that. And so they're pretty prevalent.
I've also heard a howl.
Yeah, so all these things, you wait. At the end of the show, we have a 5 or 10 minute period where all of our guests have an open mic for everybody, and you'll be able to ask people questions, And we'll have them ask you questions, too, if you want. They may want to ask you a couple of questions about your experience. So when you were asking, what anybody thinks about this, you wait till the end of the show, and I'll tell you what, there are going to be a lot of people that will probably, about gifting and all that good stuff, because most of these people have all had that experience. So it's a kind of a neat thing that you experienced there, you and your son. Are you planning on going back down there?
Actually, yes. Hopefully within the next week. Probably this weekend, but at least within the next week. Yes.
Wow, that'd be nice.
Yes, well, I was going to check back with you if I, I was going to walk back there again and see if anything, was different or anything
Well,
like that.
What we'll do is I'll keep in touch with you. You got my number.
Right.
And if something comes up, you just give me a call anytime. And okay. We'll get you back on the show to tell us what went on. I'm going to mute you out right now. We're going to go to a commercial, and then I'll come back, and we're going to talk with Daniel Boone. And I'll be but hold on and, listen to the show. You can listen to the end of the show, and at the end of the show, we'll open it up for everybody. I'm sure there's people going to ask you some questions, okay?
Right, okay. Hey, check
thanks so much for coming on tonight, Tim.
Okay, then. Thank you.
Yep. I'm just going to mute you out, and then we're going to go commercial. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Tim from Mississippi. We're going to do a little commercial right now. We'll be right back, and we're going to go to Danny Boone.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery. And deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
Well, we're back. And now we're going to go out to West Virginia to our good friend Daniel Boone. Daniel, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you tonight?
Oh, great, great. Well, Daniel, I want to thank you, first of all, for coming on last week and coming on again tonight. There's never enough time on radio show to go through everything, but what we wanted to try to do was get you to try to tell us about some of your encounter experiences and some of the things you've been up to. Could you do that for us?
Well, yeah, I could do that. First of all, I'd like to, before I get to where I was at yesterday and last week and whatever, because I go over to the wilderness area. It's near just east of where I live, Otter Creek Wilderness area, and this is all in the Monongahela National Forest. This is all in the mountains. It's real remote, but I want to touch on three incidents that's happened here nearby here. One that really that I'm fascinated by is a good friend of mine lives in Tucker County and near Parsons, and he him and two of his buddies went bow hunting in Randolph County on the Schaefer's Fork River, which is in the Monongahela National Forest, but it's there's a falls up there called High Falls. Well, they camped in above this falls, and it was during bow season. They had their bows, and one of his buddies killed this 8-point buck. Well, they had there's bear in that area, so they decided they was going to tie the deer up out away from their tent. They tied this deer up and hoisted it up to where Roger told me that you could just reach up and touch its hoof with your hand. And they used one of those yellow nylon ropes. It's good to about 830 pounds, before it'll break.
Yeah.
Stress limit on it. And they went back in the tent, and they're later on the night, they were in there and they had their lantern in there and they was playing cards. And Roger said right there, just all of a sudden, they heard that yellow rope snap. And when they heard that rope snap, they just looked at each other, but they didn't go look right then. Well, the next morning, they grabbed their bows up and they went up to see what happened. And here that rope had been snapped, broken. And the vegetation and the grass underneath it, it looked like maybe something walked around in there a little bit, but there was no drag marks where a bear drug it off or anything. So Roger said what they done. He said they started making circles, see if they could find this buck. And they made these circles, and he said it's one of those feelings that even his buddies got. He said the hair on the back of his head started standing up because he had that feeling that something was watching them. And they just packed their gear up and left out of there. And whatever it was, it carried it off. It didn't drag.
Oh, yeah. And, exactly. I mean, if there's no drag marks or nothing, and it snapped a rope, obviously
right.
The only thing that could have been done is it carried it, and certainly a bear can't carry something.
It had to grasp it enough to, you know, pull on that rope and snap it.
Yeah.
But that's just one. And then I got a matter of fact, this feller, Jim, is married to my niece. He was in Randolph County, just near to where I live now. And this was in 89 or 90. He come driving up around, it's near what they call the Rich Mountain Battlefield on Rich Mountain. He come driving up around there, and there was this meadow here above this farm. And here he seen this, he told me, he said it was the hairiest looking 7 or 8 foot, 9 foot farmer he ever seen in his life. And he said it walked the top edge of this field, and he said it bobbed straight up and down. And that right there is consistent with that inline walking. And he said he watched it walk out past the barn and into the woods. And, you know, that, of course, that was years back, but he was telling me that. I just talked to him this evening. And then today, earlier, I talked to a friend of mine. His name is Kevin. He's an engineer with the CSX Railroad. And he was telling me that in Upshur County, which is a county west of here, just adjacent to Randolph County, they had this load of or these cars that they was going to back into this siding, you know. And they was I guess the brakeman got out and walked back there to check the siding out back there, and he claims that he seen something back there, you know, and this was dark now. It was getting dark, starting to get dark. And then Kevin told me that he stepped out on the front of the train. You know, it's got a railing around it.
Uh-huh.
And he was standing on that railing, and he said there was something right off the siding growling at him. And he said he, by the sound of the growl, you know, you could tell it wasn't, you know, any animal you'd be familiar with. But, you know, he just told me that today. But
wow.
Now, last week, earlier in the week, you remember me telling you about the smells and the wood knocks that was over in Otter Creek Wilderness area, which is east of here. You know, I actually had rocks thrown at me when I was over there.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday, I took my sister along, and, you know, she wanted to go, you know, just to get out and to go with me on one of these trips. Well, I didn't really go out and walk in the wilderness. I just went to the end of the road in the area where the road takes you to and dead ends. And we got out, and we was listening and stuff, and we did hear some rocks sliding up on the points of the hill there to the left. And we heard that twice. Now, that could be a black bear, you know, digging in a yellow jacket nest or looking for grubs or whatever. But we didn't really hear anything other than that and just, you know, birds and everything else. But we come back and went south from the town of Elkins, and we come over Rich Mountain, and that very same battlefield, we come down to the bottom of the hill, and there's a place there called the Field of Fire. Now, this is where Jimmy had his encounter, where he, in 89 or 90, he saw the, you know, one walk in the field.
Uh-huh.
And I was pointing this out to her, and she looked over there, and she said, well, there's a wolf going. And, well, to me, it did look like a wolf, but I told her, I said, that's just an extra big coyote, you know, going
yeah.
up this, right up across the field. And we tried to get a picture of it, but it went over the top of the hill before I, you know, get on it. But, no, this area, you know, around here is all national forest, mostly, you know.
Yeah, well, it's
a lot of remote areas in this area. And they, you know, stories like this, people, you know, most people around here, like I was telling you before, they keep it, you know, quiet.
Keep it closed, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and most of the Native American Indian nations and things, they keep it very close too. They, because you know people talk about stuff, you know they make fun of everybody and all that, and the people just don't want to put up with all that stuff, so they
yeah,
just
now,
keep it close mouth.
Right. Even last week, me and one of my brothers was fishing on Elk River on what is called the catch and release section, where you know you catch your trout and you throw them back, use barbless mm-hmm. hooks, whatever. And we actually had rocks thrown at us over there, in that, you know, down along the river. So, you know, those, the Bigfoot in this area, they might be more than just one. I mean, they must be several of them around because, you know, it seems like you don't have to really get up in the mountains and do too much hunting or too much listening and go out and, you know, it seems like if you're going to, you know, have some kind of encounter, but you don't always. A lot of times
nope,
I've went
I understand,
out.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times I've went out and nothing, you know.
Sure.
Just relaxing to get out there and walk through the woods or walk on in the mountains or whatever. But there's all kinds of stories, though, but they're just, there's lots of them I could tell you other than these that's happened, but, you know, like I say, people don't, they don't really want to talk a whole lot about it.
No,
but
I understand.
This is a prime area right here for it. They have a lot of sightings east of here.
Well, I tell you what, I took a satellite, you know, the satellite, the Earth view of the your area in there. Wow. I mean, that's pretty neat. I mean, it's pretty good. It's pretty neat country back there. You can really, it's pretty desolate.
Yeah, you in the right place, you can get lost.
Yeah,
you know.
I'm sure you can. Well, Daniel, I want to thank you so much for sharing with us again tonight and coming on and talking with us. We're going to keep in touch back and forth here as time goes by. And obviously, if anything takes place or goes or comes up or anything, give me a call anytime. I'll keep in touch with you about every week or a couple weeks or so, and we'll get you back on again. But
all right.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing, and thanks for all your time you spent with us. I appreciate that a whole bunch.
Yeah, I don't mind. I mean, you know, I ain't afraid to talk about this because, like I say, that years ago in 65, that's when I had my encounter up close and personal
yep.
with one.
I understand.
So, you know, it ain't nothing. It ain't much different than other things that people believe in, I don't reckon, but, you know, these things are a fact. I mean, I've seen too much in even my lifetime. I've seen too much because I'm in the woods all the time, you know.
Sure. Well, you know, the big thing about it is this. There are going to be a lot of people out there that don't believe, and that's okay. I mean, you know, everybody has their own, you know, belief system and things like that, and that's all right.
All right.
We didn't believe when we first started out, as I told many to people many times, until we actually came face to face with one. And of course, then you got to believe. But you know, kind of like religion, you know, almost. But
right.
I'll tell you what.
When you come face to face with them.
Absolutely. To me, but you know, there are people out there that even if you brought one face to face, they'd swear it was something else. I don't know what it is. It's I guess it's a mindset that some people have. But that's all right. I mean, people can...
Well, yeah, you know, if that's the way they look at it, that's fine with me, too. I don't,
sure.
You know, I don't knock it or put anybody down because of that.
No.
for their belief.
And I don't put any down. I don't put anybody down when they think it. You know, when we talk about it, and they, you know, they'll send me emails or things, or call me on the phone and say, "Is this real? I mean, how can you guys say this or that?" And I tell them, "Look, I mean,
yeah."
And there's other people that call me and say, "Oh, hey, I've been an expert for X amount of years." I said, "Well, actually, in the Bigfoot world, I don't think there is any primary expert in it. There are many, many people that have had encounters, but there's so many questions about this creature that we don't know. I mean, how can it? It's not even an identified species. So, I mean, how can you be an expert about something that doesn't exist, supposedly? You know what I mean?
One I found there on Google Earth there, east of Charleston. I mean, it's just almost as clear as the nose on your face, but there's going to be other people that, you know, no, that can't be or whatever. But I respect people's judgment or what
they,
you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
But they can
take it
out.
We got it. I mean, you know, people have different opinions on things. You can't attack them because they don't believe the same thing you do.
That's right.
I mean, gosh, you got to let them, just let it be. And one of the things that Tom has always said, and you know, he's never said anybody, you know, I'm going to show you this or I'm going to prove to you this or any of that stuff. He never said that. What he says is, you come with me, you come on, you know, an expedition with me, and you see what I see. You do go where I go, and see the things that we see and hear the things that we hear, and then you make
you
your own decision.
Your own conclusion. Yeah,
that's it. And guess what?
Pretty
much everybody's pretty much everybody that's had an encounter has turned around, and that's amazing.
Yeah, that's why when I run the ad of that one I found on Google Earth in the local newspaper, I put right under there, is it male or female? You decide, whatever, you know.
Yep.
Let them, you know, or even if they think it's, you know, legit or not.
Yeah,
they
can
check it out. They can check it out.
Well, I want to thank you, Daniel, for coming on. And hang on, if you don't mind, hang on to the end of the show here. There's some people that probably want to ask you some questions. You may want to ask a couple questions to some of the other people.
Okay. All right. I'll be right here.
Thank you, Daniel. Take care now.
All right. Well,
everybody, that's Daniel Boone from West Virginia. We're going to go out here and we're going to talk to our good friend John from Massachusetts. And John has got a little bit of a follow-up from last week. Hi, John. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, John, tell us a little bit what's going on in your area now. What took place? You've been doing some stuff. A lot of people gave you a lot of recommendations last week on how to bait, you know, put bait out and stuff like that. Tell them what happened.
I took a pickle jar and I cleaned it out so there was no scent of pickles or anything in there. It was spotless. And I filled it with strawberries, apples, grape jelly, some peaches. And I smashed it up in the like a jelly.
Yep.
And I left it out in the woods for a couple of days. And I left the camera out there, got nothing. And then after a couple of days of getting nothing, I took the camera away and didn't put it out for a night. And when we go back the next day to put the camera back out, we noticed the jar was gone. And we were looking around for it, and a couple minutes later, we noticed it was moved like 5 feet back into the brush from where we left it. And all the fruit was gone, but the cover was back on with just like a little bit of fruit left on the bottom.
Wow. Pretty neat. So, but they wouldn't come around while you had the camera out there, right?
Yeah, nothing happened.
Yeah, it's kind of neat, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the camera you got, it's got an infrared sensor on it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. I think, John, one of the things that we don't know, but we think, just because of that, because we've had so many instances where it's been so difficult to try to get a game cam picture of one of these creatures, is that they can sense or they can see the they have a low range of of infrared in their eyes, or, you know, for senses, you know, for their senses, right? And we think that. And we've had a couple instances. I mean, about a year ago here, we had a guy that had a camera up in a tree. One of those creatures crawled up in the tree, smashed the front of the camera, and peed in it. And he had the, you know, he had the pee examined, you know, and it was urine, and it wasn't from a any kind of a, you know, it wasn't from kind of a, you know, it certainly wasn't a raccoon or a bear. But so I mean, something that's kind of neat. What else took place?
Well, the next day I took a jar and filled it with meat.
Yeah.
And put some water in there so it will become, like, a lot of blood. And
yeah.
I poked the holes in it for the scent, and nothing happened. So after a couple of days, I smashed the jar and just left the meat on the ground. And I got pictures of a small pack of coyotes. And if you look into, like, if you zoom in and scan the forest behind the coyotes, you can see, like, faces appearing behind the trees and up in the trees. And when you go through the pictures and look back for the face, I noticed that they moved. So it, I know it can't be, like, misidentification or a plan or
something. What I was going to tell you that earlier, but if you can send me a couple of those pictures, we'll take a look at them.
Yeah.
And we'll try to post them up there. That's pretty neat, though. But you could see the coyotes pretty clear. They were eating that stuff, huh?
Yeah.
And these, in the background, you've seen the other, what seems to be other kind of creatures in the background there. Super.
Yeah.
Well, are you going to continue to do this?
Yeah, I've been doing it in the same area for a while.
That's pretty good. You're going to keep in contact with us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll let you know. You're going to, can you stay on until the end of the show?
Yeah.
Super. We'll have you, you know, last week some of the guys gave you some information, some recommendations on how to do things. You can, maybe somebody will have some more questions or more information for you. How's that?
Yes, that's good.
Okay, well, thanks, John, for coming on tonight and sharing with us what's been going on here in the last week here for you. And appreciate you taking the time to come on the show.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you very much. Here, I want to mute you out right now. We're going to go and we're going to talk to Junior from Texas, okay?
All right.
Well, everybody, that was John from Massachusetts. Next, we're going to come out here. We're going to go to from Junior from Texas. And, Junior, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, a pleasure to have you on, Junior. Well, Junior, you tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, let me say this. You said there is no Bigfoot experts, but if there is one, it's me from a vicarious standpoint. I'm 63, and I've been into this thing for 50 years, read and seen everything you could possibly see on the creature. And my perspective is a 50-year study of when I was a kid, and there's a triad of phenomena I want to discuss, Bigfoot, black holes, and ancient aliens. So let's use a computer and scroll back to the 60s and 70s. You got a film. It's in California. You're not sure what it is exactly. You got Tom Slick going to the Himalayas, spending money on trying to find the Yeti. And you've got all kind of other stuff going on socially. You've got, of course, Vietnam. Kennedy had been killed. But all of a sudden, there was an openness to all kind of things that were happening. So we'll scroll back to that age, and you have the film, and you have Tom Slick. And you have over in the black hole area, scientists going, you know, we think there could be these things called black holes that suck everything in, light, everything disappears, but we're not sure if they exist because they're so unbelievable. Then you have ancient aliens, and you have Von Däniken coming out. Everybody's going, what a quack. Nazca lines, come on. Machu Picchu was built by these little guys from the Andes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's a belief of mine that you have to keep in perspective what's gone on in all those years. So we're back in the 60s and 70s, and there's not really much happening. Now we scroll up. We find out, oh, my God, Hubble telescope. thousands of galaxies. And guess what? In the middle of every one is a black hole. Every single galaxy now we know has a black hole. Ancient Aliens, the same thing. Pyramids all over the planet. Structures all over the planet similar to each other. Civilizations going back 10, 12, 15,000 years, uncovering all kinds of unbelievable structures. And now we have Bigfoot. Scroll up. Bigfoot now used to be just maybe in California, and now he's everywhere. If you look at the actual reports, the only places that Bigfoot has not been seen, South America, most of Africa, Scandinavian countries, and every place else, they've got some version of Bigfoot. So it's
well, they have South America. I'm sorry, but South America has had sightings of Bigfoot.
I wasn't aware of that.
And they have the natives down there have legends of the very similar to that. Some of the native tribes down there. Most of the Native American tribes have. There's not any that I'm aware of right now that don't have the Bigfoot or a name for Bigfoot.
Correct.
Whether it's a good spirit or bad spirit is the issue, and that depends on the culture.
But, right. So worldwide,
Bigfoot is worldwide.
Yes. So my point is that you have to keep in mind where this whole thing started and now where it's at. And it's just like black holes, and it's just like ancient aliens. We absolutely know black holes exist. We don't know their function, their purpose. We know that there has to have been some intervention in the past with these structures that have been built because it was either these little guys with stone tools or aliens, because there was nothing else that could have possibly caused that. Same thing with Bigfoot. The only thing that we're actually lacking right now is not whether he exists, what he is. If he's an intermediate man, if he's a leftover man, if he's a different species, and of course, like you and I have talked in the past before, that there are several species. But the point I want to make is that I think we need to go past this idea of whether or not he exists and try to figure out how to actually capture him or find out some definitive evidence. I want the people of the states of California, Oregon, Washington, to petition their governments in those states to put up state funding to try to find this thing for real once and for all and set it aside like you have wanted to do as a preserve area, but to stop all the ranting and talking about it and saying people are crazy or seeing that they see a bear walking off on 2 feet and put some serious money into this venture.
No, I would agree. Todd Standing, he's a guy up there in Canada, and he tried to do that several years ago, about three, four years ago, and he actually had a video and a bunch of things that he was trying to raise money to do that with, and they tried to get the Parliament up in Canada to pass a law for protection of the creature. It didn't go through. Of course, a lot of people laughed at it and all that. But he did his very best to try to do that. He was very earnest at trying to do that. I talked to him several times. I think you're right, though, that, we need to get funding in it. The scientific community scoffs at quite a bit of it. And they're not taking it seriously or never have. Although the Smithsonian Institute has quite a few old stashed away skeletons that are 8 or 9 foot.
Yes, exactly.
They obviously there have been several other government organizations that are aware of this because of other people that we've interviewed and had interviews with and done went and visited and had their stories for the past several years.
And also for those people that listen to the show and really have not been in that part of the country, just like they say on all the TV shows, I've been to Vancouver and Vancouver Island and Washington State, and it is just unbelievable. The land is so beautiful, but you could have 50 Bigfoot 100 yards away over the ridge, you'd never see them. It's so thick, it's unbelievable how beautiful that country is. That's where I would pick to live if I was a Bigfoot for certain.
Oh, yeah, but right now what's happening, Junior, is more so in the last couple of years, these creatures are coming into habited areas, right into rural, not rural areas, but I'm talking about right into towns and other places. I mean, in Mississippi, our good friend Tyrone is on the Choctaw Reservation, and many of the sightings that they've had on the reservation have been right there next to their casino. The casino has hundreds of people going in it, hotels and everything. And, I mean, it's not very far away from the casino. And they've had a lot of people. I'm talking about in the last 2 years, at least 8 or 9 sightings, of different things that have taken place there. And this isn't, in a rural area. This is like right down in the middle of their little, town, right? So, I mean, there's quite a few.
I had talked to you yesterday, and we had discussed an idea that I have that I think I should put out for anybody who may be able to do this, is to set up a large TV with solar power and a good microphone, DVD set with programs to run children. And of course, this is a new idea, but it's been around for a long time, but it's now getting more air of children laughing, because there's nothing more endearing to a man, I don't believe it's an ape, a man or a human type creature than children laughing. And I also would put, like I told you, pornography, because I think the mans are going to go like, wow. And then the third one would be just all of the information that we have on them, the pictures and sketches and the footprints, and show that running 24/7 or at night, either way. And I think eventually a Bigfoot would go like, what is that? They'd look around left, look around right, going, there's nobody around, let me go check this out. And eventually he'd come into view and you could get a pretty good picture. But I believe it's just more important to actually capture one, put a tracking device on him, let him go, and follow him back to where he goes and see if we can find some more.
Well, and that's pretty much been our policy for all these years. Is Tom has been doing this for 47 years. We have a facility, we have all the things. I mean, we've got the sedative guns and all the stuff. I mean, we got everything. But the issue with trying to capture one of these things is this: we don't want any harm to happen to a human. And we obviously, if we can, we don't want to harm one of the creatures, especially some of the DNA we have would say that the creature is human. Now, there are several different species of this thing that we're aware of, and this is DNA. I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about evidence that we don't have. I'm talking about evidence that we have. The DNA, some of the DNA evidence we have, it's not ape, it's not human, it's but it's within two genomes or three genomes of being human. And
well,
so
I appreciate and laud your efforts, because this is where we have to go with this thing, I think, as our own species. I think that's part of the drive, is to find out if this thing actually is related to us. I think that would be incredibly trippy to find out this guy is actually a cousin.
Well, we have some DNA that would indicate that it is human or angelic or 15,000 years or more. Of course, when you do all this DNA, it takes a significant amount of money to do it. And we spent a significant amount of money doing this. And it seems that as you go along that path, there are so many crooked people out there, so many people that are ready to snatch what other people have done.
Precisely.
And they do. I mean, they take what other people, the work that other people have done, and make it their own, and try to capitalize on what other people have done, and that's a problem with this community, that there are people out there that don't want to share anything. They think that their own research is only theirs and nobody else's, and they're the only ones that can see this creature, and it's not true. I mean, there's many people that we've had on this show. I think in the last seven years, I've interviewed somewhere about 600 people, okay, that have had encounters with this creature. Some people were researchers. Most of them are not. Most of them are everyday people, and they've had encounters with them. And this is something that happens not just frequently, but very frequently. Our Bigfoot hotline has action on it. I mean, I got six calls this past week, 8 or 9 calls the week before. I mean, it goes like that year round. And now we're the migration. What we call the migration period here, the real hot time of the summer where they're going to go north to cool off a little bit.
Just like we would,
right now. Yeah, and they're starting to do that now. So there's quite a few things taking place now. But I think you're right. I think it would be nice if people were, if we got, you know, some kind of a funding. But I don't think that's going to come very easily from the government or from a state or from any government institution. Even the colleges or other things where they would get funding for programs like that are very difficult to get fundings to support something like that because of the roots that and the reputation that the that this has. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure. But again, if somehow you could grow up the energies of the right people in the right places in those states I mentioned earlier on the Northwest there, I would think eventually you'd find some representative, somebody who would champion the cause, or probably even possibly some entrepreneur, maybe some Hollywood guy who thinks, hey, this is a pretty cool idea, and I don't know how much money you need, but I know if you got even a little bit of money, it wouldn't take that much to put together some cohesive plan that could be utilized in all those states. And I think it happened pretty quickly, but again, maybe the energy needs to be spent on trying to find the money and not so much on trying to find Bigfoot. Trying to find the money to find Bigfoot might be the way to go.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you from my experience right now, Junior, we spend somewhere in the neighborhood of $150,000 a year for our team. That's a lot of money.
Sure.
Gas is very expensive. We put on about 120,000 miles a year or more.
Really? Yeah.
That's a lot of miles. We go from anywhere in the United States up to Canada. We've had reports from every single state. And I'm not talking like one report. I'm talking lots of reports from every single state. The only reports that we haven't gotten are from Hawaii. Every other state that we have has been there are reports and sightings that happen all the time.
Yeah, and again, it's a pretty
significant thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. And again, this is the apex predator. This is the number one creature on the planet. If you took away our technology, then it might be some kind of a list like, Bigfoot, polar bear, lion, tiger, and we'd be down at about sixth or seventh place. So it's definitely in control. It's not going to be found unless it wants to be found. That's why I'm saying the efforts need to be really motored up, and we need to, as a Bigfoot devotee or as a Bigfoot part of the Bigfoot community, whatever, we need to try to figure out how to get some money because I understand you try the best you can, and there's other organizations trying the best they can, but everybody's on a shoestring budget. And I think we just need to say, we need like a plan to go to the moon, that kind of idea, but we need to have a whole cohesive set of people together on some kind of a committee, consortium, and trying to find the money. Because, again, all these reports, footprints are not going to do any good. Yes, there's something there. Yes, there's hair samples. We know it could be this, could be that. But if it's actually the money situation, then we need to put a halt to all the 8 people and 12 people who are looking for it and trying to find 80 to 100 people looking for it with some money, and I think that's where we need to go. I think there's no doubt that it's there, but you're never going to get it on a shoestring budget. So I really believe the efforts now need to be pushed towards the state level, not national, the state level, and if people have to hammer the representatives, get petitions up, come out in riot form and just say, hey, we want to pay whatever. And I think at that point you may have some funding released, but like you're saying, you're on a shoestring budget. It costs money for everything, doing the best you can. But again, with all these efforts, all we're still getting is some pictures, some activity. You have one cornered. You saw one throwing rocks at you. And that's still not anything. That's like the same thing with UFOs. It's, oh, yeah, I saw one. I know it was not a balloon. I know it wasn't the planet Venus or swamp gas, but it went by, and there it goes, and I can't tell you more than that. So I think that's where we need to take our efforts from now on.
Well, and I agree with you. I mean, it has to be some sort of a cohesive effort to try to do this, and I agree wholeheartedly with you. Well, I got it. We're running out of time here. So I want to thank you so much, Junior, for coming on and sharing with us tonight. And you're going to hang on for the end of the show here, right?
Absolutely, and I want you to know there's a lot of people in Texas believing Bigfoot, believe me.
Okay. I'm going to get you out for now, and we're going to go to Anthony, and then we'll have our little thing.
Great. Thanks for having me on. It's been a big treat. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, my friend. Thank you. Well, everybody, that was Junior from Texas. We're going to go back out here quickly. We're going to go back out here. We're going to go to Anthony from Virginia. Anthony, how are you tonight, my friend?
A little sick, recovering from an illness.
I know. What happened? You got the flu or something right in the middle of the summer.
Yeah, it seemed like that, but then it kind of triggered my asthma. I had to go to the hospital, and I was just released today, so thank the Lord for getting better.
Good God. I wasn't aware of that. Well, we're going to have to send a little shout-out there for people to maybe lift up a little prayers for you, get you better again, buddy.
Thank you. But
tell us what's going on. You and you've been out there to your... You've
yeah,
had some more action going on. It's kind of a continuous thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm realizing in my neighbor's... I say he's my neighbor, but he's like, you know, at least 20 miles away. But he's got a lot of activity. He's getting new formations being formed in his area. And it just so happens that we went out on a Friday night and, we set up a microphone and set up the recording. And we did get some responses. We made some calls and we got some responses, and that was pretty neat, you know. And we kind of set ourselves up in an area, and we set the camera pretty much north and south, kind of along the path that they would take in this particular area. We set up some game cameras north and south from where we were sitting, and you know, just in case they were coming in close, and we couldn't get them to get close enough because seemed like, you know, it was too close to some of the, this area is close to other homes as well, and so when the creatures would respond, it would set off some dogs, and we think that would probably throw them off. We was hoping to get them in closer to try to grab a picture, but they weren't coming. But the funny thing is we left the area. We did not retrieve the game cameras. We left them where they were. And because of all the events over the weekend, I didn't get a chance to pick them up until today. And the funniest thing, when you're talking about them avoiding the game cameras, I don't have any pictures of them on the game camera. But right behind where the game camera was set up, there's a new formation. There's a new clearing, actually. You know? it's comical, you know. I mean, because they just... No, I don't avoid the cameras.
They avoid the cameras, yeah, I know.
You know.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. It is. So we know that they know where the camera is. You know, it wasn't even there a week. You know, it was there, 5 days. And there's a new formation right behind the camera. You know, right behind, you know, we had two cameras set up, but right behind one of them was a new formation. So they're there.
Pretty neat.
They're
That's
there.
All right.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I didn't have time to, email you the audio file that we recorded, but you already know.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Somebody else had last week, I believe, had some calls and things, and they were telling me that they heard this call, and it sounded like an owl, and they thought it was a barn owl, but he said it was so close, and it was so loud. And it had this a vibration on it. He said, "There's no way it wasn't an owl." He said, "It wasn't an owl. It was. It sounded like a barn owl, but it was not an owl. It was so
right.
Loud."
Yeah, that's a recording that we had. It sounds like a barn owl, but it's kind of like, you know, when someone tries to imitate a dog bark, you know,
yeah.
they'll imitate a dog bark. And if you hear a person running and barking like a dog, you can say, okay, there's some, you know, if they're behind the tree line, you're probably thinking there's a dog barking behind the tree until you see what it really is, you know?
Right.
And that's how these creatures moved, at least in the area where we were. They, at night, because it was nighttime, I'm assuming they sounded like a nighttime animal. And the barn owl is exactly what it sounded like. But when that bugger got so close, man, I mean, my bones nearly vibrated. It was so close, you know.
Wow.
But once they realize how close, you know, once I'm guessing we couldn't see them, but once they realized how close we were, that's it. No more responses. I mean, it was dead silence. They made like a different type of call. And then whenever they made that call, and this is just, you know, my theory, it probably told everybody else in the area, don't call, you know. You know, it's kind of like,
right.
Don't call the humans, you know what I mean?
So, yeah, right.
So.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing tonight. And we're going to open it up for everybody. We'll get everybody on here. It's John, you're on. Kim, you're on. Junior, you're on. Daniel, you're on. And we got Bill Coffey. He's on. He's out there in Colorado. He's having all kinds of fun. They're all here. Has anybody got any questions, first of all, for John?
Yeah, John, I got, you know, I'm new to this. I've been at this for almost 3 years. I started off with some, you know, strange happenings and getting in touch with a guy like Marco Bill to confirm so many things, like you told you earlier. You know, in your youth, you seem to be a smart young kid. Keep up the good work. You know what I mean? You might take up a lot of things from a whole bunch of guys on these shows and wherever else you're doing your research on your own. But, you know, just keep up the good work. And Tim, he, same thing, you know. I started off with some weird looking things too, and I think, you know, these guys are gonna, you know, it's a process. You know they're real, but it you know, perseverance will pay off. Something will get up, you know, something will turn up, and you'll have what you need. You know?
Thank you.
Well, let's see, Daniel, did you have anything to say, my friend?
No, I'm just sitting here listening to all of this, and, you know, I like listening to it.
Oh, that's no problem.
No, there's a lot of things that goes on out there, you know, and, you know, you just have to research it, and just like they said, you know, it'll eventually, you know, something will be recorded or come along, and you'll have what you want, you know what I mean? But,
exactly true. I mean, perseverance is the key word. You got to keep trucking along. You don't give up.
Yeah, don't give up. Just keep it going.
You know. You know, I know Tim mentioned that he got a picture, and it's good that, you know, at his young age that, you know, he knows how to work with digital photography. But, you know, right. Even if he blows up that picture and he sees a clear face of one of these creatures, don't be discouraged, because someone will always say, oh, that's somebody in a monkey suit.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, somebody will always say that. But you know the truth. And, you know, just keep pressing on.
And just keep pressing on.
Well, Junior, did you have anything to say?
Yes, I'm curious. Has anybody ever considered, instead of sending out an all-male team, sending out an all-female team, so they can be attracted to females?
Well, you know, there are some all-female teams, or primarily female teams. We got one in Rhode Island, as a matter of fact. Talk to them all the time. But we have a lot of the teams that their wives are a part of it. And let me tell you, we've had several instances where the wives were menstruating, and they actually drew the creature to them.
Yeah, exactly.
And in other words, we had visual sightings as a result of that. And it was kind of, you know, bad thing to say. We used her wife as bait, but that's what they were basically when they were with us. And it happened. It wasn't meant that way, but that's the way it turned out. Just a couple of years ago that happened to us a couple of times. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, they do, and they are attracted in some way.
Can I jump
anybody
in?
Anybody else got anything?
Can I jump in there on this?
Oh, you sure can. Yeah, go right ahead.
I have three sisters during Fang season. They like the ginseng.
Sure.
They had one probably, give or take, 80 yards or less. pounding and pounding on a tree, and they all three was up there on this rich mountain when this was a happening, and it kind of spooked them a little bit, you know, especially my older sister. And, I never did ask her if they were on their menstrual period or anything, but you know, it kept pounding, and she said it pounded and pounded and pounded, and they actually thought that it was me or some prankster up there doing that, and I wasn't even around. I wasn't even in the county at that time.
Wow.
So, you know,
well, it was actually...
yeah, that team of women like that, that might work.
Yep. Well, and one of the other things that Junior brought up was the children playing thing. One of the things that actually several people we talked about before in past years here, and some of the things we tried to do. You know these little babies, these little dolls?
Yeah.
You know the little baby dolls, the little dolls that they're so real. I mean, they cry and they do all those things. And you put one of those out in the middle of nowhere there and let it do its thing and let it out there, because I'll tell you, it's amazing, because they seem to be drawn toward that.
Yeah, there's hunters around that's even reported hearing babies crying in the woods, and they were puzzled.
Yeah.
I was cleaning
way
back in, and I heard this baby crying, you know?
Yep.
So,
we had the same experience in 2007 when they had a female trapped behind a boulder. And kept hearing baby cries, and it wasn't a baby, but it was, they were mimicking, but it wasn't a baby. But you're right, yeah, they do that. It's amazing.
Yeah, and they do mimic
sick
other animals.
Oh yeah, sick rooster. We had one. It was, man, what a, trying to make a rooster crow, right?
In the bucket.
But it was so bad. It was amazing.
Yeah, I've even
and another was a horse. I had to try to do a horse. But they're 20 miles out of nowhere, and there's no horses, there's no farms, no us out there, and where in the hell are you going to find a horse?
Right.
And here this thing was trying to mimic a horse.
Mimic a horse.
Yeah.
I've heard of them even actually going in and stealing chickens and stuff in some of the farms. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yep. We've had that happen here just in the last couple of weeks.
Out here,
To a couple of guys that were on the show here last week and the week before.
Yeah, at Glady years ago, there was one seen sitting watching the sheep, and you know, and then it jumped up and jumped the fence and run up on the mountain. It, I don't know. I guess they steal sheep too, you know.
Sure.
But they're opportunists. They, you know, they're like any other. Animal or creature out there in the woods, the opportunity presents itself, they got to take advantage of it.
Sure do.
Or maybe they won't survive if they don't. And they know that.
That's probably very true. I want to thank everybody for coming on the show tonight and sharing. You all are such, I think it's just super that you guys took your time and spend it with us tonight. Thank you so much. We'll see everybody next week. I want to have to sign off. It's getting we're over time a little bit here, but that's all right. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week. Tom will be back next week. Keep Bigfooting and keep the Bigfoot going. Take care now. Good night.
Good day to you.
Well, thank you so much.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Go Sasquatch.
Okay.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. driving determination. The only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put them all together. Reason for the fact.